great faith can see sunlight at midnight. And oh, would God help us to grab that in the middle of your midnight.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message we will be sharing with our radio audience this evening is the message Pastor Brian Grant delivered at the Germantown Christian Assembly this past Mother's Day. Though the message has an obvious Mother's Day focus, its timeless truths rooted in Scripture cannot be dated. Neither are they limited to those whom God has specially gifted to be mothers. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, and listen with us as Pastor Grant draws from his text, Five Facts About Great Faith. We trust that Pastor Grant's message, entitled, The Impact of a Mother's Faith, will be a blessing and an encouragement to all our radio listeners and their families. Here now is Pastor Grant.
I want to share a message of hope with you entitled The Impact of a Mother's Faith. It's based on an amazing encounter that Jesus had with a mother right here in Matthew's Gospel chapter 15. Now this story, it's a very unusual story, and if you're not careful, you could walk away with the wrong impression. But this story is very important, and let me tell you one of the reasons why. This story is important because this mother was one of only two people in the entire New Testament that Jesus commended for having great faith. Only two individuals Jesus commended for having great faith, and this is one of the persons. By the way, the Greek word for great is the word megas, M-E-G-A-S. It's the root from which we get the word mega. Are you asleep? It's the word from which we get mega. This lady had mega faith. And as a result, it had a tremendous impact on her family. And I believe that her story can be your story. Her story can be my story. And so this morning, I want to share with you five facts about great faith. Number one, great faith is often found where we least expect it. Did you hear what I'm saying? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 21 and 22, the Word of God tells us, Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. This is the first time recorded in the ministry of the Lord Jesus that Jesus had gone into Gentile territory. Now remember what I told you, that great faith is often found where we would least expect it. And here Jesus leaves Jewish territory and he goes into Gentile territory for the first time. This is certainly not where you would have expected mega faith. But Matthew wanted us to know something else about this mom, for Matthew calls her a Canaanite. Mark refers to her as a Syrophoenician, because by the time this story is being told, that region was the Syrophoenician region. It was where Syria and Phoenicia, or modern-day Lebanon, it was the region of Syria and Lebanon. Trouble spots today, am I right about that? But this is the spot. And Matthew brings up her roots because Matthew is trying to make a point. Matthew wants us to be clear that great faith is often found where we would least expect it. You see, from God gave Canaan. Some of you remember in the Old Testament about Canaan. Who went to Canaan? Abraham went to Canaan. God gave the Canaan to the Jews, and from God gave Canaan to the Jews 2,000 years before this time, the Jews and the Canaanites hated each other. In fact, the first century historian Josephus wrote, the people of Tyre are notoriously the bitterest enemies of the Jews. Think of that. And here, Jesus leaves Jewish territory and he goes not only to Gentile territory, he goes to Tyre, the place that is regarded as the bitterest enemies of the Jews. So guess what? None of the disciples expected anything to happen down there. For sure, nothing much is going to happen, number one, in Gentile territory, and number one, two, against all, with all these enemies here. Humanly speaking, you would have expected great faith to have happened among the apostles, wouldn't you? But you know, it's very interesting, something very interesting that I don't want you to miss. Just a few verses before this, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 31, the Apostle Peter had gone out of the boat and he had started walking to Jesus on the water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, you remember what happened? He started to... I wonder if you remember what Jesus said to the Apostle Peter. Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, "Oh, you of what? Little faith." This is less than 30 verses before where we are today. Just in the same time frame, Jesus is telling Peter, the great apostle Peter, the one where you would have thought great faith would be, Jesus tells him, "Oh, you of little faith." And now Jesus comes to this heathen from Tyre and he says, "You have great faith." This story ought to give us hope. Because you might be here this morning and you don't have much spiritual credentials. People are not expecting anything big from you. In fact, you're not expecting much from yourself. You're saying to yourself, "Why would God do anything special for me and in me?" I am here to tell you, my brother and my sister, I'm here to tell you, mother, that great faith is often found where we least expect it. And you may be a young person, a teenager, an older person, it doesn't matter. So far, your track record might not be that great. Your history with Jesus might not be that great. You haven't even joined the church yet. But I want you to know that this morning, you could be one of those persons that the Lord Jesus would say, "You have great faith." Great faith is found in the most unlikely places. But secondly, not only is great faith found where we least expect it, but great faith sees a light in the thickest darkness. If you notice, at the end of verse 22, here's what the Bible tells us. In Matthew 15, 22, she said, "My daughter is severely demon possessed." She was experiencing thick darkness because of the demon possession of her daughter. We don't have many details here, but in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the Bible gives us a detailed description of another man who was demon possessed. And it made it clear that his demon possession caused both emotional illness and antisocial behavior. This man was naked and he lived in the graveyard. He was so wild, he was out of control. And what they would do, they would bind him with chains, they would tie him up with chains and fetters. But this man was so strong and so out of control, no matter what they did to restrain him, he would break them loose. But thank God he met Jesus. Amen. He met Jesus, and the Bible says that after he met Jesus, this out of control naked man was clothed and in his right mind. And I want you to know, my friend, no matter what drama you are going through, God can do something special for you. But when we hear that man's what demon possession did for him, we realize that, hey, this mother must have been going through some traumatic, it was a traumatic experience. But this lady realized great faith can see sunlight at midnight. Did you hear what I'm telling you? Great faith can see sunlight at midnight rather than worrying herself to death or giving up hope. This mom came to Jesus. My friend, if you are having drama and struggle and stress, you have done the right thing to be in the house of God this morning. But it takes even more than coming to church, because you can come to church and not come to Jesus. What a powerful lesson this lady is teaching us. No matter what you're going through. You see, when we're going through troubles, our natural instinct is usually to give in to fear. Has that ever happened to you? So much is swirling in your life, and you give in to fear. You are scared to death. We were at Disney World and went to the 4D movie. Honey, I shrunk the audience. Now, I love 4D, because at 4D movies, things seem real, although it's really an illusion. Well, that's what I thought, that things weren't real. But in the middle of Honey, I Shrunk the audience, in the middle, they let out hundreds of rats into the audience. I hate rats. So when I felt the rats brushing against my legs, I panicked. Things were wild. People were screaming. The children, the adults, everybody was screaming because the rats were everywhere. But guess what? There were no rats. Do you know what they were doing? They were just blowing pressurized air on our legs. But do you realize how easy it is for our human instincts to be overcome by fear? Our human instincts automatically revert to fear. And that's what happens sometimes in our lives when struggles come our way. The natural, the most normal thing is that we immediately revert to fear. And sometimes if we're not careful, we are so traumatized by fear, we stay there and we have our little pity party. But this mom wants to say to us this morning, she wants to talk to somebody here. And this mother is saying, there is a better way. She is saying to you, replace your fear with faith. Amen. Replace your fear with faith. Not faith in faith. Sometimes you listen to people and they talk about faith, but they're talking about faith in faith. That's crazy. What we need is to replace our fear with faith in God.
We'd like to extend a special invitation to our Philadelphia area listeners to our annual Friends and Family Day on October 22nd. Join us at 10:45 a.m. for our morning worship service as Pastor Grant delivers a message entitled, Living a Fruitful Life. The service will be followed by a scrumptious dinner prepared by our culinary team. Dinner is free, but please call us at 215-242-5550 to make your reservation. Once again, that number is 215-242-5550. And now we rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Never forget, great faith can see sunlight at midnight. And oh, would God help us to grab that in the middle of your midnight. Because of your faith is anchored to the living God. Might God help us that we can see His sunlight in the middle of the darkest midnight. Number three, great faith believes God can do the impossible. You see, great faith comes where you least expect it. Great faith sees sunlight at midnight, but great faith believes that God can do the impossible. Now, most of the miracles, almost every miracle that Jesus did, he did it for people who were right there. Did you ever notice that? He raised the dead. He didn't raise Lazarus from the distance. He came to where he was. He touched people's mouth. He touched their ears. He put stuff on their eyes. Most of the miracles that Jesus did, he did for people right there. But this mother came without her daughter. Amen. This mother, I hope we realize this. There is no excuse for our lack of faith, because this lady had no background. This lady was a heathen from the section that hated the Jews. This lady didn't have your privilege and mine. She didn't have Christian radio. She didn't have all these tracks. She didn't have GCA to come and be fed. Are you understanding that faith, this great faith, is something that you must decide you are going to exercise? And this lady, without any training, her faith told her that Jesus could do the impossible, that Jesus could heal her daughter, although her daughter was not present. Do you believe Jesus can do the impossible? Do I have a witness today? Oh, so you really believe it? Are you going to trust him for what you're going through? Are you going to say, Lord, you know what I'm going through, but Lord, I'm trusting you, because I'm glad I know a God who can do the impossible, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask or think. Is that your God? But there was something this lady had to learn. She came and she called Jesus Son of David. Did you see that in verse 22? She called him Son of David, but that was a title for Jews only. Only the Jews had the right to call Jesus the Son of David. So Jesus was silent because she was no Jew. She is going to have to acknowledge who she was. Do you know that some of us still want to play the religious card? But the religious card don't work with Jesus. You see, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the Bible tells the story of two men who came into the temple to pray. Many of us know that story. One was a religious Pharisee. He was highly respected. And the other guy was a despised tax collector. And the religious guy, he comes to Jesus and he said, God, I'm so glad I'm not like other people. God, I'm not like them sinners. In fact, God, I'm not even, he looked across and he saw the tax collector. He says, God, I'm not even like him, that tax collector. I am so glad I'm not like him. The poor little tax collector, he was so overwhelmed by his sense of guilt and shame that the Bible says he wouldn't even lift his head to heaven. He just smote his breast and he said, Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you know I've met people in my time who are not saved because they've played the religious card? God, you know I'm not like them people. God, you know. Do you see the family I'm from? Do you see my background? Do you see my credentials? Lord, I saw the news, all these bad people running down in Center City. And God, I'm so glad I'm not like them. I'm pretty good. That religious card doesn't count with God. Faith begins when we recognize who we are with God. We have got to come to God acknowledging who we are and what God wants to hear from somebody. There's some young person or older person. Some of you may have been in church all your life, but there's somebody who this morning for the first time needs to say to God, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, when you say that prayer, you get God's attention. Amen. But fourth, great faith perseveres. Not preserves, but perseveres in trusting God. So here we have in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 23. The Bible says, Jesus answered the lady not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Get the picture. Jesus and his disciples are walking on the road, and this lady is trying to get his attention, and she calls him Son of David. He doesn't respond. He's just walking along on the road, and she is following behind him, and she's loudly calling out for help. She's crying out for help. And after a while, the disciples, they get fed up, and they say, Lord, Won't you tell her to shut up? I hope you realize that even folks who ought to know better, sometimes we mess up. So if we mess up, don't just throw us out. Some people leave the church because sometimes one of the leaders said something they ought not to have said. And rather than sit and deal with it, we just throw in the towel and we disappear. No, no, no. These disciples shouldn't have said that, but they had absolutely no empathy for this lady's situation. So she kept at it. Finally, Jesus stopped. And let's listen to what he told her in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 24. Finally, Jesus said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. By the way, part of what Jesus is doing, in case you're missing it, Jesus is bringing out something. Jesus sees something special in this lady. And he's working, this master surgeon. He's bringing out the very best in this lady. And he puts a roadblock up and he says to her, listen, lady, I was sent on a mission. But sorry, honey, the mission is to the Jews. So did it discourage her? Do you think she was discouraged? Not on your life. She was not discouraged by the disciples' lack of empathy, nor by the words of Jesus. She had persistent faith. After baptism in his church, Bill Hybels bumped into a woman in the stairwell who was crying. And he thought it was odd because the baptism was so joyful. And so he asked her if she was okay. She said, no. She said, my mom was baptized today. And I'm crying because I almost gave up on her. She said, I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. She said, at the 5-year mark, I felt God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I felt like I was wasting my breath. Last year, I said, this is absurd. But I kept praying, even with weak faith. And she said, then mom gave her life to Christ and was baptized today. She says, I'll never doubt the power of prayer again. Somebody needed to hear that. You've been praying for 5 years. You've been praying for 10. You've been praying for 15. And God is saying to you that great faith perseveres in trusting God. Grab a hold of that. Great faith perseveres. It keeps at it. It sticks to trusting God. It never gives up. You all heard of Churchill's famous statement. He was called to give this speech before this graduation for these young people. And he gave what is regarded as one of his most powerful speeches ever. And it was a very simple speech. As he spoke to those graduates, Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. And he went and took his seat. And that's what God is saying to somebody here this morning. Never give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep holding on to Jesus. Amen. My God can do the impossible. Faith shows up where we least expect it. It sees light in the thickest darkness. It believes God can do the impossible. Great faith perseveres in trusting God.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.